Okay, you're all set.
Okay. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Okay, so let's start with introductions. As the board members, please introduce and identify yourself and state your affiliation.
Samuel Pride, Besby.
Catherine Guzman, parent rep.
Randa Utter, member of the board.
Beth Rybold, board member.
Board member.
Sorry, I just heard two at a time there. Could we try it again, please?
Mary Silverberg, board member.
Eileen Akers, board member.
Thank you.
Stephen Thal, board member.
Okay, I hear eight board members, so that suggests to me that we have a quorum. Okay, so introductions from Besby staff, please.
Hi, Brian Sigmund, Besby's director.
Catherine Sum, education supervisor of the Children's Services Program.
Chris Lassen, the Adult Services Program Supervisor.
Lori Sainemann, volunteer program specialist.
Hi, Tyrell Sampson, Business Enterprise Program Vending Facility Supervisor.
Congratulations, Tyrell.
Yes, congrats.
Lisa Sangway, secretary to Mr. Sigmund.
Any members of the did I just step on somebody there? Are we done with Besby staff? I'll take that as a yes. Any members of the public who wish to introduce themselves?
Frank Roberts, chairman of the operator committee for BEP.
Jay Brown, representative from the Department of Education, Bureau of Special Education.
And Nathaniel Wills, National Federation of the Blind of Connecticut.
I'm Kaylee Galino, Equal Employment Opportunity Specialist with Department of Social Services.
Any others?
Esther Stone Cole, Department of Social Services.
Okay, welcome everybody. Let's move on to the public comment portion of the agenda then. Do I hear any comments from the public?
Yes, I have a couple, if I may do.
Steve?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, you have the floor.
Okay, I've had a couple calls from folks wanting to know the status of the large print calendar, whether there'll be one or whatever.
Chris Lassen, I think, is in charge of that, right?
Yes, indeed, Al. Thank you very much.
Okay.
And I can report. I will report that we had asked Nina, our graphic designer, to create a draft, some months ago, and it has been finalized. And we are awaiting a quote from the print shop so that they can start printing it. So we do fully intend to have the calendar. We have just a little over 1,050. 1050 names of folks waiting to receive the calendar, and we always print some number extra so that newly added clients and folks who request later during the year to receive a copy can get one. It's going to be a little bit different this year. It's because the advent of the pandemic has caused us to remove the pages that listed there's only a couple of pages that listed things like the support groups, and we've replaced it with a request on every single page of the calendar that anyone with questions about any aspect of Besby services is invited to call the toll-free number or the 860 number or to contact us online. And we're distributing the information that's normally contained on those calendars, which is very difficult to keep accurate, as you know, as there are many changes in phone numbers or contact persons throughout the year. So we're going to have folks at the office who answer inquiries kept up to date with that sort of information. So, you know, I would hope that we would go out, you know, it's literally ready to go. All we're doing is waiting for the quote. I saw that Brian got an email reply, I think, this morning from the print shop supervisor, and so we should know, hopefully within a matter of days, you know, when they'll have that done.
Okay, thanks,
thank
Chris.
You. The second question is, how are the referrals being handled? I received a call from a doctor's office this week from a family member as well, and he's going to be sending an eye report in supposedly this week, and I'm curious how that is being handled and how the services will be provided if this woman needs it. She's like 96 and it's causing some concerns, and I wasn't sure how to proceed with it.
Sure.
Brian, you want to take this one?
Okay.
Well, Chris, can you do you have it?
I'd be happy because I'm
okay,
at present I'm receiving and coding the eye reports, and I'm happy to give an update. Right at present, the vast majority of new referrals are coming in through the agency's WriteFax account, which is in effect a virtual fax machine that shows up in my inbox as a separate email account. And I have a colleague who is a clerical employee in adult services, and I receive the reports and code them as eligible, or perhaps we need additional information, or occasionally someone is not eligible despite the doctor's assumption. And then we add, I communicate that to the clerical employee, Stephanie Monk, who then adds the client to the system. We assign a social worker. We're doing the intake over the telephone. And this is going to be part of my update on the adult services program, but I will say that at present, we've been quite successful in getting the intake completed, moving the client into status, having both a rehabilitation teacher and a mobility instructor reach out, I'll sort of provide an update on how services are received, but we are, despite the fact that no one is really, that most of the field staff have not been in the office for the last 6 months. That's not the case across the board throughout BSBE, but for adult services, everybody's working from home, and we're doing our absolute best to render services remotely. And again, we'll describe that more in detail. But does that generally respond to the outline of your question, Steve?
Yeah, I know how to proceed now with it. I'll be in touch, because when the family members spoke to the doctor's office, they weren't even aware of the procedure for BSBE.
This is Brian. Hold on a second. This is Brian. I'm going to chime in. The state statute has not changed in decades, and the eye report form has a fax number right on it. The fax number is still operational. We are still receiving eye reports. We are still coding eye reports. We are still assigning staff folks. So I am a little bewildered that any doctor's office could claim that they're not aware of a process when it's not changed.
Well, the only thing I can think of is the information isn't being shared with any new employee staff members, the only thing I can come up with.
Oh, doctor staff members, you mean, Steve?
Right, yeah. Okay, it gives us an idea, because I've had a couple people call me about this, and I said, okay, I'll check into it and see what's going on. Okay, my final question is, in terms of the library for the blind, two people called me from here wondering, are they still giving out equipment? Are they still a viable resource, or are they closed down, or they changed their system? Anybody know?
To some degree, they are still sending out books. If somebody sends a request by email with the numbers of the selections they want, they can be sent to Gordon Reddick. Their staff is very limited. It's just Gordon and maybe one other person periodically. But he is doing his best to get out books. I know I've received them, a few other people have. They will load up 6 to 8, I think up to 10 books on one cartridge and will send it out. Equipment is another story. I'm not positive at this point in time if they're still doing that. But that would, I would ask that question to him directly.
Okay, thank you all.
Okay, well, Steve,
hello.
I just wanted to say that through the Library for the Blind, their mobile app, which is called Bard Mobile, with audiobooks, is still working the way it always has. But I think the person contact the library to register to download that app.
Okay, I will get back to the two people that were asking the question. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any other public comment?
Nathaniel Wales from Connecticut. Sure, real briefly, I know that this is on your agenda for later. It is possible that I may need to drop off for another appointment, but I simply wanted to say on the matter of the adjustment to blindness training revised policy that was shared with the board. Beth Bible shared it with me this morning, and that looks good. It does address our concerns by focusing not on on a time limit, but keeping both skills and habits and attitudes in there as a metric, and not putting a time limit, but using that as the criteria. I fully support that. It is completely consistent, as I can tell, with the NFB of Connecticut's resolution from back in April, and I urge everyone on the board to support it when it comes up.
Thanks, Nathaniel. Any other comments?
This is Samuel. Bye. I just want to let you know I'm on the line.
Okay, great. Thanks, Sam. Any other comment? Okay, hearing none, then let's move on to the next item, which is old business. Minutes from 18 June 2020 for action. Do I hear a motion to adopt?
How's that old?
No move.
Who's that? Steve?
Yes.
Okay, Steve makes the motion to adopt. I need a second, please.
Samuel seconds.
Samuel seconds. All right, very good then. Any additions, changes, corrections you wish to make to the minutes?
This is Irene Akers. There are two corrections. I believe that Andrea has sent a message to Lisa noting the proper wording for the change of the name for the Connecticut affiliate of the Connecticut chapter of the American Council of the Blind. Right. I think Lisa has that information.
Yep. Lisa, did you get that?
Yes, I forwarded it to Brian as well.
Okay.
And the second change is in the minutes it says Ms. Guzman submitted a request to Google for their support in promoting Blind Americans Equality Day. It should be a request
to Google Doodle because Google has done a lot to, you know, for a website and other supports for people who are blind, but it's specifically Google Doodle, D-O-O-D-L-E.
All right, very good. You got that, Lisa?
D-O-O-L-D, you said? D-O?
It's Google Doodle.
Doodle, that's what I thought. Okay, yep, I got it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Eileen. Any other changes to the minutes? Okay, hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, minutes are adopted. On to new business. Blind Americans Equality Day Workgroup Update. Eileen, you have the floor for this one.
Thank you. Wish me luck with my computer here and my brain. Catherine will keep up with Google Doodle. They receive many, many requests. So we'll just hope that will come through, and that will be an ongoing part of what we're doing. In terms of, let's see, there had been an essay project that was proposed. We did not receive much of a response to that. That was an essay project inviting essays from, middle school students and perhaps college or, you know, post-high school adults. But we only received one tentative response of a student who was thinking about submitting something. That never happened. What our conclusion was at a previous work group meeting, that the essay project might be something ongoing, working through Children's Services and maybe even VR, that we might work on an essay project that would be developed throughout the year, because it seemed to be a worthwhile endeavor. Let's see, I'm just trying to talk to this computer. Also, in terms of BESBE, Brian pointed out that October is also National Disability Employment Awareness Month, so perhaps there is some coordination about that part of October as well as Blind Americans Equality Day. Back to other projects, the Tobacco Museum in Windsor is going to have a program on October 17th regarding Blind Americans Equality Day. And I conferred with Andrea again about this, because that involves also Lions. I can assure everybody that all protocol is being observed, so there need to be no concern about following proper protocol because of the coronavirus. Two libraries in Windsor are also going to have observances. Of course, this would be not in person, but programs that the library is doing to promote Blind Americans Equality Day. One library is actually creating bookmarks, and I think other libraries in the state may be doing, you know, putting out notices and making their patrons aware of Blind Americans Equality Day. In terms of the Lions also, Anne Fortunato, under her guidance, there is an essay project being promoted about how people have been influenced by people who are blind and what they have achieved. Unfortunately, there so far there have only been two essays received so far. Those will be sent to Diane Weaver Dunn through Chris Radio. There's going to be a Facebook page that will include these essays and other material that I will talk about in a minute. Jonathan's Dream Playground is going to promote something about Blind Americans Equality Day. That's going to be an outdoor presentation. And Diane Weaver Dunn from Chris is working with them on that. The veterans under Katie Wiseman, it's a terrific multimedia project that Katie Wiseman has spearheaded. What is happening there? I'm sorry, I'm trying to read from my notes. What the project involves, what veterans want people to know from their perspective. 15 entries were received. A poster is being created with segments from 12 of those entries. That poster is going to be circulated around the VA, and also that's going to go out to all the regional centers in the Northeast. A booklet will also be produced that will have the full content of each submission, and that again will be sent out to veterans throughout the Northeast and the region and to the families, so that new families and veterans will be aware of this booklet. We're also working on newspaper and radio publicity. What we're encouraging is that people who are blind throughout each of the regions of Connecticut would be contacting radio stations they can do to talk about Blind Americans Equality Day. I'm working on southeast region for the Norwich radio station, and we would like to get people from other regions. And Mr. Pride, perhaps we could talk to you about handling your part of the state, because we need all the regions represented. And our next work group meeting is going to be on September 30th, Wednesday, September 30th at 11 a.m. through the Besby teleconference number. So perhaps people from other regions of the state could be part of that teleconference. What we want to have is a uniform message, or as much as possible, for points that should be made when we do interviews with throughout our region. And also, Chris Radio through Steve Thal is going to be having a broadcast, especially with Katie Wiseman, regarding what the veterans are doing. So I'm sorry for this rather jumbled report, but that's what I have to present.
Great job.
This is Sam. If you could send me an email.
Oh, sorry.
No, this is Mr. Pride. Sam, if you could send me an email with the information for the call so I can get on it, and I'll do whatever I can in this region.
Wonderful. I will be in contact with you. Thank you, Mr. Pride.
You're welcome.
Any questions for Eileen? Hearing none? All right. Thank you, Eileen. You guys are doing a tremendous job given the circumstances. in which we find ourselves in the midst of a pandemic, that's quite an impressive list of participants you've gotten together, and I look forward to this being a successful event. So
thanks
for the excellent work, and carry on. Our next item is proposed meeting dates for 2021. I have 18 March, 17 June, 9 September, and 16 December. Do I hear a motion to adopt the calendar for next year?
Eileen Akers, so moved.
Okay, do I have a second?
Mary Silverberg, I second.
Okay, you got a second from Mary Silverberg. Do we have any comments or questions?
Could you
please for particular dates? Sorry?
Hi, this is Jay Brown. Could you repeat the dates? I wasn't sure of the March date. I thought the proposed one was March 24th.
Okay. 18 March. Yeah. I have one question. With regard to 9 September, that is the week of Labor Day. Are we sure we want to hold the meeting the week on a short week?
This is Brian.
To work Tuesday. Go ahead.
I believe the issue was a religious holiday on the week where I believe I'd have to check, but I believe there was a reason for that, and I'm not able to look it up at the moment because I'm using my cell phone for this teleconference.
Okay.
It's Mary. I'm going to see if I can look it up right now because I'm not sure either.
Thank you, Mary. Brian, this is Jay again. I apologize. I'm just looking at the dates on the agenda, and I think maybe because the March date was different. Could you repeat the June, September, and December dates again, just so I make sure I have them written down?
Well,
thank you.
Jay, June is 17th, September 9th, September 16th, December. So then 17 June, 9 September, 16 December.
September 16th is Yom Kippur. Brian, I just want to clarify, Jay, I just want to be sure you're not looking at State Rehab Council date, because you're a member of the State Rehabilitation Council. And these are the dates for the meetings of the Advisory Board for Persons who are Blind or Visually Impaired.
So
the State Rehabilitation Council is meeting next Wednesday. Under new business on the agenda, there's meeting dates for 2021 under number 5. Are those the dates I should be concerned with, or the dates we just talked about?
The agenda I'm looking at right now is the agenda for the Advisory Board. I don't have the agenda for the State Rehab Council open at the moment. So I'm not sure. Look at the top of the agenda you're reading from and see if it says State Rehabilitation Council on the top.
State Rehabilitation Council to Besby. And
right, that's different.
That's different. That's the advisory body that you're an appointed member of. This is the Advisory Board for Persons Who Are Blind or Visually Impaired. It's a different entity, and you're welcome to be on these calls. You know, their calls are all open to the public, but I think that's why you're seeing different meeting dates.
Gotcha. I appreciate it. That was my confusion. So the dates that are on the agenda that I'm reading, March 24th, June 23rd, September 22nd, and December 22nd are the dates I should be concerned with then. I just want to make sure I get them into my calendar
Again, I don't have the agenda open, but if those are the proposed dates that are on the agenda for the State Rehabilitation Council, that at the meeting they have next Wednesday, they'll be voting on those particular dates, and then they would become finalized or modified.
Okay, so this is not a meeting of the State Rehabilitation Council. This is a meeting. I should be on the September 23rd call is what I should do.
Well, you're certainly welcome to stay on this call.
Right, no, I do appreciate it, but I want to make sure I'm in the right meeting, so I need to review this for the 23rd. Okay. I have myself confused. Thank you.
It's Mary again with Dave.
Yep.
Yeah, next year is going to be tricky because if Rosh Hashanah starts the evening of September 6th, so Wednesday the 7th is the holiday, and Thursday the 8th, for those who observe the second day of Rosh Hashanah, it's a problem. For those who don't, it is not a problem. Because the other complication is Yom Kippur begins on Wednesday night, September 15th, and it is all Thursday, September 16th. So it's either.
That's the reason I chose the night. It was thank you for the refresh of my memory. Because Yom Kippur.
It's a safe date.
Yeah, would have fallen on the week where we would have typically held the advisory meeting.
So yeah. if we went to 23rd September, would that be a big deal?
I think that the 23rd is the day after the SRC has their meeting, but I have to check. And I think that the logistics of having both of those meetings in the same week could present some complications, but it's up to... You know,
Another Thursday in September. I mean, we're not required to have a meeting in September, so we could go as late as the 30th and still be in September.
This is also true.
Because I don't want to, step on, especially on the high holidays. I don't want to be stepping on anybody's holidays, and I know it goes over a period of several days. So I'd rather just give people the opportunity to concentrate on that and not have to worry about the BSBE meeting. So if I don't hear any objections, I propose 30th September.
Well, just a this is Eileen, just a question. What about the 2nd? What about the 2nd of September?
I don't want to step on anybody's summer vacation. Before Labor Day, it's that we would have two meetings in the summer, and I'd rather avoid that. Because I'm not sure that we'd have a quorum if, you know, people are taking that week off. I'm going to be off that week.
Ah.
So if you want to chair the meeting, Eileen, that's fine with me. But I think I'd rather go later in September than go back earlier.
Right.
So what are we thinking? SRC 30th. On the 23rd and us on the 30th?
Yeah. Actually, SRC on the 22nd because they meet on Wednesdays. The dog likes the 30th.
Yeah, someone just rang our doorbell. So the official recording of the meeting will show that one of my chiefs is announcing a visitor.
All right, do I have any objections?
He doesn't try to vote.
any objections to 30th September?
Well, I make a motion, we go with the 30th.
Okay, all right, that sounds great. I have
second the motion, it's Mary.
Okay, Mary seconds, very good. All right, any further comments on the schedule for next year? Okay, so was that chatter, or did somebody want to comment? Okay, so just to reiterate, the proposed dates for next year, 18 March. 17 June, 30th September, and 16 December. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, the motion passes. So we have a calendar scheduled for next year. Next item on the agenda, BSBE updates. First, I have adult services. So, Chris, I'm going to give you the floor.
Okay, thanks very much, Al. My approach to today's update is to let everybody know that sort of what's been going on in the past 6 months, because the last time we had an adult services report was in the March meeting of this year. And shortly thereafter, of course, our normal way of conducting business for the agency was interrupted by the pandemic and the decision to have everyone work from home. And so I thought that I would elaborate a little bit and then invite your questions, just so everyone's clear how it is that we've been operating in the past 6 months and are likely to go on for some indefinite time. First of all, late in the month, we were able, extremely fortunate, to be able to bring on two new social worker trainees. So the hiring process had been well underway for quite some period of time, but they joined staff late in the last week of March. So they have been, we had been down to three social workers who provide case management for clients in the adult services program. We added two new trainees, one a very experienced social worker who had been working in Hartford for Hands-On Hartford and Peter's Retreat, who is fluent in Spanish. His name is Jaime Ortega. He has now been assigned a service territory that runs from East Hartford west out to Waterbury, and we're very, very happy to have him providing case management services to our many clients in that that area who are primarily Spanish speaking, as well as obviously many other clients who are well conversant in English. We also were able to hire a social worker trainee, Marjorie Santos, who has considerable expertise in assisting persons with deafblindness. She and I and the all of her colleagues in adult services have been working to bring Margie current on the very many programs, benefits, and services that are available to persons with deafblindness. She's a person who herself has family members who are deafblind. She has the ability to sign. She's the first adult services staff person we've had who is conversant in American Sign Language. She's also has been she's worked in the past in a group home for in Massachusetts for DDS clients who are deaf, and so she both has a lot of experience in using ASL and even tactile sign for persons who are deafblind, and she's also worked in the past as an SSP or support service provider in Massachusetts, but that's a program that we have here in Connecticut where folks, BESBY clients with deafblindness work with primarily with providers who are who use American Sign Language provide transportation and other community inclusion services. So her broad experience matches very well with what we're doing here in Connecticut, and it's been a pleasure to have these two new social worker trainees, even though I have only met them in person once in my entire life, having them working, getting constant training and mentoring from their three more veteran social work peers, and also being supported by the other professional field staff, the RIA teachers and the mobility instructors. So the two new social worker trainees, along with the three existing social workers, have continued to very speedily respond to newly added clients, the needs of newly added clients. They've been very well equipped. Everyone is working from home with a BESBY or an ADS issued cell phone and laptop computer. Margie has also gotten the ability to use Sorenson Video Relay to communicate better with clients who use American Sign. So we're reaching out quickly, conducting assessments of client needs, and getting clients, you know, comfortably situated with an explanation of what it is that they can expect us to provide. Also, the rehabilitation teachers at BSB, who are four in number, have been meeting weekly. With my assistance, the four rehab teachers have developed a really good working relationship with the staff of the BOS folks at the Department of Aging and Disability Services. We are providing equipment to assist clients with activities of daily living by mailing it out or shipping it out. We have Matt Rodriguez in the stock room, who's in several days a week at the Windsor office and has been busy packing up supplies and sending them very, very promptly to clients throughout the state. And then the BSB rehab teachers provide remote instruction using those devices, including even such things as working with clients, their friends, their sighted family members, or sometimes the clients themselves, to properly affix tactile markings in the kitchen. And staff have adjusted pretty smoothly towards assisting clients, even if they're not doing so in person. The third, obviously, category of staff, the orientation and mobility instructors, we did have a retirement of Heidi Ross. I think I reported that at the March meeting. She left in late February. So we're down to two mobility instructors throughout the state. But we're in the process. There's a posting that's underway now. We're seeking to hire a replacement for Heidi and a fourth mobility instructor, and so we're hopeful that will happen fairly shortly. At the initiation of the leadership, Brian here at BSB and throughout the Department of Aging and Disability Services, protocols have been underway for staff members to make a request to assist a client in significant need in person, maintaining all sorts of the current COVID protocols and staying as far apart as possible. And so far, the staff who've made best use of this newfound possibility have been the mobility instructors. So for the last six or so weeks, we've been fielding requests that Brian has speedily processed and either accepted or sent back for additional polishing, so that staff in mobility instructors have been able to go out and assist clients in critical need in the community. These have largely been, I think, almost exclusively been out-of-door lessons to reduce the likelihood of anyone contracting coronavirus. But so staff are, in fact, I know that staff are out several times a week now working with clients in the arena of mobility, and we're anticipating that the same will be the case for the rehabilitation teachers in the near future. We continue to provide adaptive equipment to clients. We're doing our best. The rehabilitation teachers have had to really innovate significantly to figure out how best to get both optical and electronic video magnifiers to clients. But that continues, and as I say, staff are refining their abilities to provide appropriate equipment at a distance. And I know Lori's going to be talking about this later, but the presence of the volunteer program participants has really assisted a lot of our clients with staying in contact with supportive folks during the these past 6 months. So that's sort of a general overview. And you know, because of this unusual circumstance, I'm inviting all of you to ask questions if you have any to help me better clarify what it is that we're doing right now.
Questions for Chris?
Yes, I have one, Stephen.
Go ahead, Steve.
Sure, Steve.
Yeah, thank you. Is there any consideration underway to possibly do some viral training with the mobility instructors to have some training and the rehab teachers so that if clients need it, they can review it on their own?
Could you give me a little more, Steve, do you mean like posting videos or audio links or online?
Yeah. Do you have any, you know, tapes or anything that you're developing so people can review them so they can keep on course since they can't be there physically to hear it? I mean, to, you know, get reinforcement of what they're doing.
Well, it's interesting you ask that because, at the initiation of one of our rehab teachers, some of the, both the rehabilitation teachers and the mobility instructors, and all of them have participated in this, have been developing content that some of these are audio links and some are video links with audio. And we are, it's a painstaking process, but they're working on refining these links, and the agency has, you know, very graciously offered to post these on the BSBE website. Apparently, I'm sorry, the ADS website, the Department of Aging and Disability Services website. So we are working, they basically said that, you know, it's Brian's call as to what we're going to post, and so staff are busily refining and polishing the content that they have produced. They've been doing that sort of on their own, meeting regularly and weekly. And, you know, we're hopeful that we'll be able to post some useful, quite useful, you know, content on the ADS website. Yes.
Any other questions for Chris?
Yes, Marianne.
Yep. Hi, Marianne.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Marianne. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Could you maybe clarify clients in critical need of O&M? Are
so,
new clients or?
Well, it's both new clients and, you know, in fact, I'd say it's probably been roughly evenly distributed. The general protocol has been that you know, I'd say that most clients who have been with BSBE for a while and have an ongoing working relationship with a mobility instructor feel pretty comfortable calling them up and requesting assistance when a new need arises. And that has happened, and so the mobility instructors you know, refine a proposal as resulting from their discussion with the client, bring it to me. Until just about a week ago, earlier this week, those proposals I have reviewed and sent them on to Brian in the last week. Brian has pushed this responsibility down to the supervisory level. So, you know, very recently, the mobility instructors will come to me and say, you know, I've been working with client X. He or she has identified a need for a new, you know, practicing a new route, or we have clients who have moved and require orientation in their new neighborhoods. We've also, for new clients, have identified clients who are in critical need. We have depended upon both the mobility instructors and the social workers to identify clients in critical need. For example, we had one client in Hartford who relocated from a shelter in New York City, who was a person who was newly blind and did not have any mobility skills, and was has a pretty modest amount of residual vision, was crossing the street in a very unsafe way in the middle of a residential block in Hartford. So we got right out there. David Ferland got out and provided some basic, you know, cane skills, and identified safer locations and protocols to use when crossing the street. We did have a client who, you know, showed up in Waterbury, who was a person who had been served in another country, but was newly in the U.S. and needed some instruction in getting around downtown Waterbury, in a very, very similar situation. So, so clients and their workers have actually identified critical needs and then, you know, pushed them up the organizational chart. And, you know, we've been very quick to respond. And so, it's sort of on a case-by-case basis. I'm hopeful that, you know, we'll be able to do this in a an increasingly more robust fashion as we figure out safe ways to provide these services, and as the mobility instructors get more experience with this. But it's going pretty well so far. I think the staff and the clients have reported to me that they feel these forays into the field are working quite well.